Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. You want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's the text line, and we will respond to whatever it is on your mind. Just shoot us a text. Joining us now on the line, calling in from Birmingham today, one of our Monday regulars, State Representative Jennifer Fidler of Silver Hill, my state lawmaker, is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for hopping on. So you're up in Birmingham today, the Southern Legislative Conference. Talk to us a little bit about it. What do we need to know?
Well, the Southern Legislative Conference is a conference of all the pretty much southern states from Texas, West Virginia, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, all the states in between. We're hosting it this year. So our Speaker of the House is the chairman of the group, and so we're hosting it in Birmingham. The last time it came to our state, we were in Mobile with it, and there's thousands of folks that come, so you do have to have a big enough venue to host all the different legislators that come. So Birmingham was chosen, and we're getting to meet with colleagues in the House and in the Senate from all these states. Let's see, it opened up Saturday. I wasn't able to come Saturday because we had the fish fry in at Ocala Farms, Point Clear Republican Women, and we had Congressman Barry Moore in the area. And so wasn't able to come Saturday, came first thing Sunday. We had great speakers yesterday. This morning, I couldn't come on at 9:30 because I was at a agricultural policy meeting, just where all the ag leaders in all the different states come together. And these are ag folks that are chairman of the committee, agricultural committee in their house or in the Senate. And they just come together and talk about different things that are affecting agriculture in those different states. And there's no lobbyists in the room. They're just us, people that, you know, leaders that have been elected to talk about different issues that we've heard from our constituents. And there's things like the feral hog issue that come up, the host of things. One of the things we talked a little bit about today was urban sprawl on the prime ag lands and soils that we're seeing, monitoring aquifer levels and how we do that, and just the different bills that have passed in different states concerning agriculture and what other states are doing about certain issues and any headway, like the ag lands being bought by foreign adversaries. We talked about that some this morning. So there's just a whole host of topics that we're covering and listening and understanding where everybody's been and what they passed and what concerns that we have, and those that different groups are also doing that. Education is doing that. So people are involved in health. They're having these breakout sessions. And then we come back together for together. There's at lunch as a women in leadership luncheon. So that's just kind of a speckling. We'll have Alabama night where we're hosting some folks at the stadium here. And tomorrow will be another day of just those type of meetings.
Well, big turnout for that. I know one of my media colleagues, Todd Stacey's up there for this, but how many states, how many people are you seeing up there?
Oh my goodness. The number of states is maybe 12 or 15 states. And, you know, it's most of the Alabama folks have tried to make this because, you know, we're hosting. It's a good crowd. This is a great venue. It's spread out. It's quite a distance. Takes you a minute to kind of get accustomed to where everything is. But, yeah, we've got a great crowd here.
joined by State Representative Jennifer Fidler here on the program. You mentioned the ag, you do find this to be the case kind of universally in a lot of places, but it's not just Alabama. It's sort of a struggling sector of the economy now. And I don't know, Representative, a lot of it's kind of federal, right? I guess there's some things that the state has to do, or some of these responsibilities are delegated to the states by the federal government. But when we talk about inflation and input cost and, you know, just making a profit, a lot of that kind of resides under the federal government's jurisdiction.
Mike, what do you mean, like making a profit? You talking about in regards to...
Well, making a living. So making a profit, you know, if you have a farm and you want to make a living, you want to do this for your livelihood, it's you hear more and more people are walking away from it. They're doing other things. And in especially in the South, that's a big part of their state's economy.
Well, in most of these states, we just heard from Virginia. And Virginia just said, you know, we've got a lot of data centers, but agriculture is still number one. And you start thinking about that because I think they're number. I just went through a data center session yesterday, and Virginia was at the top for data centers. So yes, they're still surprising California. I mean, number one in agriculture. But I mean, California's not here at this meeting, but most of our farm products, you know, we do want to keep them local. We do want to keep our food locally grown for our people. And yeah, it's still number one in most southern states, the number one economy producer. We talked a little bit about H2A programs too, and the cost of that. The farmers are actually paying for the folks to come over here and work, which was really a surprise to me. Our farm doesn't use H2A workers, but the farmers are paying $14, $15, $16 an hour. And then on top of that, providing housing. That's a good bit of money going out for labor. When you think about you're providing all these extra electricity, garbage, you know, all the things it takes to provide a housing allowance. Yes.
Well, you know, and the aside from ag, you know, all these southern states kind of competing for is something you wonder, do they talk about economic development? And this sort of arms race, especially southern states, Mississippi, Tennessee, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, we're all in this competing for the next big thing, the next auto manufacturing facility or whatever it may be, Representative. And what's happened, though, it's coming like where, well, every state does it. And most of them, you know, like I said, states in the South, it seems like they ought to get together. I don't know. It can state governments collude on these things, but like right now, it's economic development at all cost. And you wonder, you have those discussions like how far do you go with incentives, et cetera, and these states are doing it to their own detriment, competing with one another.
Yeah, I guess there's, you know, a lot of the reason to what you're talking about. I mean, there's a lot of credence to it. Yes, I mean, we talked about just go back and talk about these data centers or solar panels. I mean, there was somebody who just mentioned just a few minutes ago 30,000 acres that went up in solar panels in over two counties in one particular state. And I guess, you know, you're all competing for, you know, that economic engine, and because, you know, that's a big part of, you know, what makes our state have the taxes come in the way we need to keep funding things, keep funding our schools, keep funding. That's part of that economic engine that we need to keep the dollar moving. throughout the whole state. One of the interesting facts, just kind of talking about this, when you talk to your county government, your county, you find out there's only a handful of counties in this state that are actually growing. Baldwin and Marshall County, and those are just two of the two or three, the top ones that are just growing the fastest, maybe some of the fastest in the nation. But there are a lot, most of the counties, probably 60 that aren't, or 50 something that aren't growing. They're, you know, or some are decreasing. So those are the, those are where those counties where we have the lowest socioeconomic levels across the state are where we're having the issues with our workforce. And where they're not, you know, we talk about the workforce being 56.6%, and it's extremely low. Well, there's a lot, there's other states that are in that kind of range too. Arkansas is pretty low as well. But, you know, the lowest number of people working are in our lower socioeconomic. That's where our counties aren't growing as fast. And those are where we do have to have something. We've got to have some sort of economic engine to help spur that. Now, what that is and what that looks like and how we do it is, we've got a great Secretary Reed that's on top of all that. So my hat's off to him. He's got a great challenge.
Well, tell me something, and this is not really related to the conference you're at, and you've seen the immigration stories and sort of these deportations. How much of a hit is that taking on the ag sector of the economy? I mean, I would have to think, at least to some degree, it's going to make it harder to find workers.
A lot of the farmers that I've talked to are using the H-2A program. They're already in a legal federal program. My family's farm, they actually don't use immigrant labor. It's just people that, you know, that's in the community that work or will work. The biggest hit that I've heard from is construction, roofing, landscaping, perhaps. It's the businesses that use subcontractors. They, you know, you may hire a subcontractor to do something, and the subcontractors might be legal, but there may be illegals that immigrants that are working for that person. So those are the ones that I've talked to that are being hit the worst, I guess, or being hit the most. So we're going to see some construction and some development kind of take a little bit of a, not, I don't know if a pause would be the right word, but I would say a slowdown, because I think there's that hit. But that's what I've been hearing. That's who I've been hearing from.
Yeah, well, I'll hear it, you know, from people, and they're really worried about it. And maybe not so much ag, but you're right, construction. And I don't know, the state, should the state have a response for that? Because to me, you know, if you're having trouble getting workers, well, the economics are going to have to prevail. And you're just going to have to offer a higher wage or whatever it takes to get guys to come to work for you. But that's not like that is going to take time. And it's going to be a slower process than probably a lot of people would like.
Yes. And then I've had constituents that have come to me and have come up with some novel ideas, you know, regarding that, perhaps having some sort of program that we can, or they can have people working for them that they can actually vouch for, and they can say, we'll sponsor these six or five people. You know, if there's any issues, you know, come to us. We're their people. We're going to sponsor them. They're going to fall under our insurance until we get stabilized with this whole program to where we can, you know, they can either, you know, be shipped out and come back in or what have you until we can. They've suggested things like that. Then on the other hand, you've got, you know, I don't know how much movement we'll be able to get on something like that, because the other side of it is, you know, if there's all these illegals, you know, we've gotten some things that's happened in Baldwin County, kept up with everything, then, you take all those folks down or out, you know, make sure they leave the country, you get to the person, to the real person that's behind all the illegal, the big illegal activities that are the real scary things that could happen. You know, so from the Homeland Security side of it, you know, where's that balance?
Last question, we'll get you out of here. You've been making your ways around the district. You mentioned being at the Fish Fry Saturday night. There was the think tank. What are you hearing? Anything we need to know about?
I did speak at the think tank in Robertsville like last Saturday. We had a great crowd. We had the Fish Fry. There was a lot of candidates that were there. Throughout the for the municipal government, there's Fairhope's got a lot of folks running in the city council race. I met a few of those folks. I know there's two mayors that are not being opposed across Baldwin County, and that's Fairhope and Loxley. But most of these candidates that are running were at the Fish Fry. There were so many at the Fish Fry Saturday night. And I saw a lot of those at the think tank the Saturday before. So they are out and about. They're wanting to meet everybody. And so, you know, you do have a lot of candidates out there that are seeking election. So it's important that, I guess, our voters really get to know who's, because I know we do have an open seat. Councilman Boone's not running this next time. So you might know most of your council members, but you might not know who's going to go in that open seat. And then, you know, we're having the Eastern Shore Republican Women are having a forum coming up, and they're going to be having some of those candidates out and speaking and getting to know them. And just encourage everybody to pay attention to our elections. They're so important. And
yours truly will be moderating that forum coming up in a few weeks. So we'll put in some more plugs for that. Representative, we appreciate your time. Stay safe up there. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know I'm